The topic I will talk about is adaptation of five potato cultivars or genotypes to prolonged heat stress, and with a focus on cell differentiation. There's a lot has been done on potato under heat stress. They're very heat sensitive plants, and so we'll be talking more on the cell differentiation. This work is a PhD project of my student Justin Chabot. He couldn't be here, so I'm giving the presentation. So like I said, potato is a cool climate adapted crop, and the optimum temperature for potato is usually about 20 degrees Celsius. The temperature, I say to my student, that what we like is what potatoes like, kind of room temperature. And that's the reason is that they evolved in the high Andes, where it's often cool and moist climate. And like I said, heat stress impacts potato in many different ways. A lot of work has shown reduction of growth, cell division and cell expansion, some of the work we did a number of years ago, partitioning, of the carbohydrates, especially tuber production from the leaves to the tuber, photosynthesis, respiration, transpiration, and chlorophyll content. The leaves start to lose chlorophyll and start to die under heat stress. So they're pretty sensitive to heat stress. And a lot of people have studied somewhat long-term studies, but most studies have been short-term injury. You know, you expose the potato plant to heat stress, they start to get hurt, and you study all the biochemistry and other things that are happening to potato under heat stress, and then after a few days you kind of terminate the experiment. So most studies have been short-term. There are few studies that have been long-term that look at mainly in morphology and showing that you get leaf rolling, especially the leaves angle becomes more acute, plants becomes kind of like growing up, avoiding the sun, light under heat stress. And the most important thing which I would like to emphasize in my talk today is to remember that they produce smaller leaves. And the idea is, are those smaller leaves better adapted to the heat stress? And most of the study on anatomical adaptation are lacking, and I'll be talking about the leaf surface, which is the changes in stomata, stomatal density. So our objectives are looking at the leaf surface morphology, stomatal index, stomatal density, ground cell, and stomatal complex size. We grow our plants in controlled environment facility at the Biotron at the university. We are fortunate to have a facility where we can precisely control the temperature. So the control plants are grown at 20 degree day, 15 degree night, and for about 6 weeks. And then we expose them to heat stress for another 6 weeks, which is quite a hot temperature, 35 degrees Celsius, about 15 degrees higher day temperature than normal. And then these plants are irrigated continuously, four times automatically every day with a nutrient solution to access so that we have no effect of nutrient or water. So we are only studying the effect of temperature stress or the heat stress. And then we make leaflet impressions and look at under the microscope and see the changes. And we've done some scanning EM studies as well as looking at the internal leaf structures using freeze fracture, and I'll show you some of those pictures. So the plants look kind of like that. In the control plant, you see the normal morphology. Leaves are extended and so forth, whereas the leaves that are growing now under heat stress are suffering, but they are smaller leaves. And the old leaves are starting to get hurt when changing chlorophyll or losing chlorophyll, and start to curl down, avoiding the light. So here is a close up. So this is a controlled leaf, the leaf that was developed under controlled condition at 20 degrees Celsius. And this is the heat stress adapted leaf. So this is the plant after about 4 weeks into the heat stress. New leaves emerge that are now fully adapted because they have high chlorophyll content and they are photosynthesizing. I won't present the data on photosynthesis, transpiration and other things. We have that done as well. But this study is just to look at what has change in the anatomy of that leaf that may help explain adaptation to heat stress. And you can see the size of the leaf very small compared to the control. So here is another close-up, another variety, and you can see the old leaves that were developed under control temperature are starting to get hurt, and the leaves, new emerging leaves are adapted. So when we look at the surface of the leaf, you see the upper leaf surface. In the control, very few stomata, and that typical zigzag puzzle type of epidermal cells. That's very normal. Under heat adapted stress, many, many more stomata develop. And that's kind of the basic message from our talk. A lot more cells, epidermal cells, are differentiating into stomata. So cell differentiation has been altered during adaptation. And this is on the lower surface. Of course, potatoes have mostly stomata on the lower surface. And even on the lower surface, we get more stomata produced, and show you some of the data that we have collected. The other thing that you notice, that this zigzag structure that is found in control becomes a little more smoother. It is not as zigzag. It's called sinusoidal. It's not as sinusoidal. And this work we reported earlier, that this is probably related to loss of cell expansion. The cell doesn't expand as much during heat stress. And in fact, the size of the leaf is smaller because of the less cell number. So cell division is hurt, and also cell expansion. So this is looking under the electron microscope. Similar situation. Very few stomata in the control. And in the heat adapted on the upper surface, lot more stomata. And the other thing you will notice is that stomatal size is increased as compared to the control. And again, on the lower surface, lot more stomata in the control, but even more so in the heat adapted. And again, the size in general is increased by heat stress adaptation. There's another cultivar, similar situation, more stomata on the upper as well as on the lower leaf surface. So here's some data comparing control, that is in blue, and heat adapted, that is in red. And you can see on the lower surface, lot more stomata. This is stomatal index, that is, what are the percent of cells that are stomata on the lower surface. So there are about 20-some percent in one cultivar. There's another 17%. These are five different genotypes, five different cultivars: Atlantic, Burbank, Dark Red Norland, Snowden, and Superior. These are five major cultivars grown in the U.S. And you see on the upper leaf surface, under heat stress, increase in that stomatal index, dramatic shift from a very small number of stomata to very large number of the cells that are differentiating into stomata. So if we look at the ratio of the heat adapted to control, we see that on the lower surface, about 20 to 40% more cells differentiating into stomata. Whereas on the upper surface, 4 to 5 times, actually in one of the cultivars, so period 7 times more cells converting into stomata, differentiating into stomata. And if you look at now the stomatal density, which is the number of stomata per unit area, similar trend is present. So on the again, red is here heat adapted and blue is control. And in all cultivars on the lower surface, you have increase in the stomatal density, and the same thing is true, much more dramatic effect on the upper leaf surface, tremendous increase in stomatal density. And again, if we look at the ratio, it's about 2 times more stomatal density in the lower surface and almost 10 to 15 times more stomatal density on the upper leaf surface. And so if we look at the cell density, now the ground cells that are epidermal cells, they are actually smaller in the heat-adapted cells. So there are more cell per millimeter square in the red, which is the heat-adapted in throughout, on the both on the lower and the upper leaf surface. So cell size is smaller, which is consistent with our previous work that cell elongation is inhibited. So again, like I said, that one of the things that we noticed was that the stomatal size is increased, and we have some data on that. This is the size of the stomata in micrometer square, and you see in all cultivars, the size of the stomata is almost doubled in many of the cultivars. This is the stomatal complex. The ground cell size is decreased. So red here is again heat adapted, and blue is control, and the ground cell size is decreased. And if we look at the stomatal complex area, that is the percent of the leaf that is occupied by the stomata, in the heat adapted, much more of the leaf surface now is covered with stomata. Okay. And the ground cell, less. So more cells are differentiating into stomata. So if we look at the percent area covered by the stomatal complex, and again in the abaxial and adaxial surface, and you see under control, there is a lot less. And in the heat adapted, almost 50% of the upper leaf surface is covered by stomata. Very dramatic change. So when we look at, this is a freeze fracture of internal tissue, and we are doing much more careful anatomy, it looks like the cells in the heat adapted are much more packed. You see more air spaces in the spongy parenchyma. The palisade is single layer, and we see evidence of multiple palisade layers in the heat adapted leaf. So to conclude, adaptation of potato to long-term heat stress results in smaller leaf size, decreased in epidermal cell size due to cell expansion, reduction in cell expansion, increased in stomatal complex size and number, and that means there is an altered cell differentiation. During the differentiation, the epidermal cells became more stomata. So in adaptation, how will that help in adaptation? Increased stomatal number and size, of course, increased stomatal conductance could give evaporative cooling under heat stress. And we have some evidence of that. We have measured temperature, the leaves are staying cooler. And we have measured transpiration, the transpiration is much higher. And of course, also we have measured photosynthetic capacity. Like I said, this is not the talk where we are talking about that data, but we have data on that there is much better photosynthetic rate in those smaller leaves than in the older non-adapted leaves. So with that, thank you for listening, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you have. Yes. Yeah, that's a very interesting question. We have done yield studies and tuber formation. It depends on at what stage you expose the plant to heat stress. If the tubers are already initiated, it seems like the tubers are able to develop. If the tubers are not initiated, the initiation and the tuber development is inhibited. So with that, I think I'm running out of time for myself. I don't want to be a bad example. So we'll go to the next